Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Well, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good middle of the night, whatever time of day, whatever day of the week it is. Welcome to the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love all lesser values I consider to be BS. I will not live my life. I will not aim my goals. I will not work my profession, my calling on any other level than love. Love alone is credible. Love carries the weight of life in a way that leads toward winning. It may not feel like winning at it on any given moment, but in the larger picture, the long arc of love will reach for a finality of success that can't be measured in dollars. It can't be measured by the size of your house, the make and model of your car. But love will be the final evaluation of all of us. I'm telling you, every one of us, everybody listening to me, love will be the final evaluation of your life. I've found that love alone is worth giving everything to. So I come here week in and week out to bring to you this broadcast of the No BS Bishop. I'm not going to bait and switch you or other types of BS. I'm going to tell you straight truth that if you're not in love with life, then life isn't treating you well. And if you are in love with life, then you will love the layers. You will love every minute particle of it. St. Francis of Assisi lived a life of love. He lived a life of love for every particle of dirt he walked on, every tree he passed, every squirrel who ran across his path, every rabbit he saw. St. Francis of Assisi was known as, somebody called him one time, the pardon of God walking the earth. He did that, and he was able to walk as the pardon of God because he was a lover of all of life. And in loving all of life, he loved his enemies, he loved his neighbors, he loved his friends, he loved his family, even though he had strained relationships all through his life. Listen, you don't live a life of love at that level, but what it strains people who are determined to live a different kind of life. Yeah, a different kind of living known as either hate or apathy. Apathy, I don't think, is much different than hate because it just says, I don't care. I don't care about who you are or what you live. I'm apathetic toward you. Might as well just be hate. And as a result, when a lover shows up in the face of hate, in the face of apathy, in the face of fear, when somebody who loves shows up, well, you know, you create enemies. And then the lover says, oh, good. This is exciting. I get to deepen my appreciation for love. Because when I love my enemies, truly love my enemies, it does far more for me than it will ever do for my enemies. It deepens my ability to function as a human being. It strengthens my mental acuity. It strengthens my emotional quotient. Love for enemies is that which creates in us a great quantity, a great quality that nothing else can do. So once again, I'm Bishop Randy Dean. I want to talk to you as a pastor. I've often in this broadcast, I invite you to pull up a chair, get a cup of coffee or the drink of your choice, and just relax. Give me the opportunity to grant some counsel to you. I have stored up in my life some counseling that I try here to pass along to you. I do it on Facebook Live through Sunday Night Sanctuary. You could look me up on Facebook and meet with me Sunday nights, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time for a half an hour. I also have a blog, and you know, there are various means by which you can connect with me, but right now you're with me on this broadcast, and this I want to offer you the opportunity to just set a spell for a half an hour with me here in my pastoral council. I've done a fair amount, not professional counseling. I don't have a counseling degree, but I could have a metaphoric PhD in counseling because of the multiple hours I've spent with people in counseling. In fact, I recorded something. I wrote it down. I didn't want to shortchange you at all about my 49 years of ministry. Yep, I'm 68. I've been in ministry for 49 years. You do the math. That's been most of my adult life. No, it's been all my adult life. So for 49 years, I've pastored one form or another. And during that time, I've preached, oh my goodness, I've preached in an Encyclopedia Britannica of volumes of material. I've counseled people. I've taught people. I've sat in schoolroom settings. I've taught in junior college. I've taught in high school. Yeah, many years ago, I taught a high school course on the New Testament in a public school. Yeah, that's right. That was allowed down in Texas at the time. I've taken phone calls all hours of the day. And in that process, I've married and buried, and I've, as I said, taken phone calls all hours of the day and night. I've had to learn how to train people. Don't call me in the middle of the night unless it's a real serious emergency. And even in that, remember, my number isn't 911. You know, if we're talking bleeding, if we're talking life and death, first call 911, then give me a shout. But I've taken those calls at 2 in the morning, 4 in the morning. I can tell you those early morning calls never, never have good news on the other side. And one Sunday morning, I got a call 6 a.m. in the morning from a dear friend and a pastor colleague who had the worst news that any parent could imagine, that his adult son had died in a car crash the night before. Listen, when you live a life of that nature, it carves something out in you. So I'm giving you this for a reason. Just so bear with me. I have learned how to hold people in my arms when they've got no answers, and I don't have answers, and sometimes they just need to be held. Sometimes they just need strong arms. I've held people in my arms who were abused. I've held moms and dads in my arms who just lost a brand new baby. And then I've held those same babies, sometimes a few times in death. I've held those babies up to God, and I've cried with the family. I've held babies up in baptism. I've held babies up in dedication. I've said goodbye to a lot of members in churches over the years. Once upon a time when I was just a young puppy preacher, I thought everybody in the whole world just wanted me to be their pastor. I couldn't imagine anybody running away from me and not wanting to be permanently a member of my church. And I found out in a hurry, not everybody wanted to be around me for whatever reasons. And some were valid, some were not valid. But I've watched a lot of disappointed members walk away. But I've also seen just as many or more new people come in the doors and discovered their stories of pain and misery. A lot of those people that have come to me because some previous pastor or church system, I want you to hear that carefully, system of church, threw these people to the curb. Some pastors just were raging, abusive people who were, yes, they were abusive people. And they used their power as a pastor or priest, and they pushed people away. And I've received those people into my church. And I've learned how to love them past that spiritual abuse, if you will. I've had to learn that when I've been called all those hours of the night and day, that when that emergency comes, that somebody's hanging on to life, if I can at all possible, it hasn't always been possible, but if I can at all possible, I run to a bedside in a hospital or an emergency room. And I've learned how to pray for miracles, folks. I'm giving you this as a backdrop to being able to share my counsel with you. You got to learn how to pray for miracles when you're working with hurting people. You can't shortchange the opportunity that love wants to produce a miracle. I've learned through all of these experiences and so many more I don't have time to express here, but I've learned one thing about the human condition. One thing: love never fails. That comes from 1 Corinthians 13. Love never fails. You say, well, I've seen love fail. Well, then I would propose it wasn't love, because if it failed, it wasn't love. But if it never fails, that must be love. Love will sometimes take years, maybe decades, or even a lifetime to arc toward its success. We are invited to a life of love, not for immediate result, but for the long-term journey, for the marathon run of life to be fully appreciated and successful. So all of this, I'm telling you that I've been a pastor for almost 50 years, 49 years to be precise. I've learned how to shepherd the flock from one position, love. I have made the mistake, sometime, most of the time, early in my ministry, of shepherding from that vacuum of doctrinal purity, as if to say, you know, well, if you fit this little slot of doctrinal information, well, then I can manage you, I can pastor you. And I learned rapidly that that is cold, it's cruel, it's not human, and it's not God. Because God is love and love is God. He who dwells in love dwells in God. He who dwells in God dwells in love. Love and God are absolutely symmetrically woven together so that when we love, we are walking in God. And I've discovered that if I hold up a doctrinal stand and say to people, if you fit this stand with me, then I can help you. I have discovered that will not work, and it cheats me, and it, worse yet, it cheats them. I have shepherded the flock as if my life depends on it through love. I know my life depends on it because I have discovered multiple times my life is to be lived by love. And if I can live from that powerful stand, then no matter what the doctrinal disagreement might be that I could have with somebody in my church, oh yeah, they could come to my church and even stay there for decades, and we would still not see eye to eye doctrinally. But if we see eye to eye by love, here's the deal. Either they will change over time, or, God forbid, the pastor will change. And I say that tongue in cheek. Not God forbid. May God grant change to a shepherd whose heart is not wrapped up in love. And if a member of your church changes you out of love, well, there you go. You just had a child lead you into the kingdom. Maybe that wasn't necessarily an age child, a child of 12 or 10, but maybe that was a child spiritually, metaphorically. Maybe this was a child who doesn't know everything about doctrine and the Bible that you know as a pastor. Maybe a child will lead you and you will discover love in a way that you have never known it before. So all that said, I'm inviting you to my pastoral council. Sit down a second. Let me share with you some principles of counsel. That if your soul is lean, if you're feeling spiritually dry and abandoned, I would suggest to you that you are a candidate to receive love, and you're a candidate in search of love. I would suggest that if you're sensing that life has led you to a very isolated, cold place, that cold, isolated place is it's an invitation. It's a RSVP. Respond with love. Call out for love. Yeah, you can call out for love. I want to put it to you this way. Expect love. Now, I want to make sure you understand when I say expect love, don't put that into a category of demand. Because to demand love isn't to get love at all. When you demand love, you're manipulating and controlling. And by the way, that's BS. I'm alive to love, and all lesser values than love are BS. And one of those places of BS is manipulation and control. Don't demand love. Don't stomp your foot and tell people they have to love you, because you surely have just now postponed the opportunity of love arriving at your heart's door. Now it's time, if you're in a dry place, if you're in an isolated and lonely place, now is time to simply rest and expect love. In meteorological terms, in, you know, the weather forecasters, those folks that point at those maps on TV and other places and tell you what the forecast is that's coming, in meteorological terms, a low pressure system is sort of a suction for all the weather to come toward it. It's when a low pressure system arrives over a certain geographical region, what is happening is magnetically, meteorologically, the weather around it is being drawn toward that low system. I want you to see that now in terms of love. When you're in a low place, when you are at your bottom, when you have nothing left to give, you're like a low pressure system. The good news is that now all the pressures around you can be drawn to you. In the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, the first words of the 12 steps are these: we admitted we were powerless. That's that low pressure system. When we admit that we are powerless, we're suggesting, I have no power to change me. In fact, everything else is changing me for the worse. I'm at a low place and I don't know how to get out of it. We admitted we were powerless is the beginning of a revolution in our life. And when we admit that I am so dry, I am so lonely, we're in a prime position to just settle down and allow the world around you, allow God, allow life, allow love to come to your doorstep. Settle your heart that at that point of weakness, at that point of maybe more than weakness, complete, abject poverty of soul and mind, you're in a place now, if you'll allow it, that love can come to you. Now, I want to make sure everybody listening to me understands that sometimes people around us are so ill-equipped, so poorly educated about love, that what they'll say and do is an attempt to love, but it's uneducated and ill-informed and ignorant. I want to propose to you that's, you know, the story of Job, the Old Testament book of Job, is about a poor man who just had so many terrible events, circumstances outside his control that came cascading over him. He was in that low-pressure system, and out of that low-pressure system, well-meaning but ill-informed people arrived at his door trying to tell him what it was that was wrong with him. And Job, you know, Job listened, and Job debated back and forth, but at the end of it, Job was a recipient of the love of God. God came to Job in a way, I mean, over the scope of that entire book of Job. And I got to tell you, by the way, that book is one of my favorites. You know, I can tell you, if it's read properly, it will stir your soul in ways that other things can't. At the end of Job's life, he was more blessed than he was at the beginning because he became that low pressure system. He admitted he was powerless over these life circumstances that had happened to him. He admitted that there was a power greater than him that could restore him to sanity. And because of that, the book of Job ends in this delightful adage that he had more than he ever could have imagined at the end than he did at the beginning. But it all started when Job was at that lowest point of life. Are you there? Are you at that low point of life? Then I suggest to you, then you're in a good place. If you will bring yourself to some sense of peace about it, stop fighting it, stop arguing with yourself about what you did wrong or what you did right or what others are doing wrong, and settle yourself to an admission that you're powerless and that you need a power greater than you to restore you to sanity. And by the way, that power greater than you is love. In my pastoral study, I've counseled hundreds of people toward one object, one settled idea, one purpose. And I'm telling you, and it hasn't always been easy for me, but I have always tried to end a counseling setting with everybody by saying, listen, I don't have all the answers. I'm not even going to pretend to have all the answers, but I'm going to tell you one thing. Right here, right now, somebody's loving you, and that somebody is me. I want you to know I love you, and I will stand with you as long as you'll be honest with me. I'll go to hell and back with you, but if you start lying to me, I can't help you. I have always told people in my counseling setting, just tell me the truth, and I can get you some help. I may have to refer you to another counselor who is much more professional, or a counselor of more professional degrees and legitimate medical needs than I have, but I will tell you this. I'm going to love you toward the answers. I am here not to be smart with you, but to be loving with you. that low pressure system. I just can't say enough about that. It's a point of a potential miracle. It's the point of the potential powers of the meteorological forces to come your way. Most of us have experienced something like that, but most of us have rarely surrendered to it long enough for love to really arrive and transform our heart and mind. You see, another quality that's very close to love is the quality of hope. Hope is that beautiful ignition in your mind and your heart that says, oh, I have dreams, I have desires, I have wants in my life. And, you know, I believe that once love comes along and sustains you, you'll start risking hope again. You'll start risking hoping for a better day, hoping for a better relationship, hoping for a better job, a better career, a better marriage, you know, a better relationship with your kids, a better relationship with your parents. Hope comes along on the trail of love. I believe love absolutely must trailblaze. Love must plow the trail. And right behind love, hope arrives. Hope comes along and it says, we have to dare. We have to dare to believe for good things. We have to dare to lift our sights beyond where we've been. We have to dare to see life in a little better way. So listen to me carefully as I'm counseling you here in my pastoral study. Love will make a way where there never was a way before. Love will create for you what you can't create for yourself. And I mean the love of God. And I mean, if you don't believe in God, all right, then believe in love. Start with love, and then God will show up somewhere in your belief in love. Let me help you know, as a pastor, as a bishop, I'm telling you, I'm not here to fight you to believe in God. I am simply here to invite you to believe in love. And here's how you can start. Simply say these words, I am loved. I am loved beyond anything I know in this very moment. And as soon as that love becomes some kind of reality, I believe I will hope again. Say it somewhere, somehow, into a pillow, go in your car and get a place in the closet and just say, I am loved. And love will arrive at my doorstep, and right behind love, hope will show up. And I'm going to hope again for a better life. Well, there you have it. There's about 20 minutes or so of a pastor's heart and counsel for you. And I started this by sharing with you, I've done pastoral life for almost 50 years, 49 years to be precise. And in that life, I gained so much when I have surrendered to one thing, love. When I tried to fight for doctrinal purity, when I tried to fight for protecting the brick and mortar of my church, I failed. But I discovered one thing, love never fails. Love is that one power that holds the human condition together when everything else just seems to be blowing up. You are loved. I am loved. And in that love, there is a future. Hope will arrive right on the heels of, right on the tail, that drag of love will bring hope in the door of your living. Every time we gather here for the No BS Bishop, I close this time with you with two exercises, and the first one is breathing. Somebody may say, well, that's just a New Age thing. Well, you know, it can be anything you want it to be, but as far as I'm concerned, it's teaching people how to take a Sabbath every day of your life. Some of us can take a sabbatical, which could be weeks or months, but most human beings can't take a sabbatical. Most human beings simply need a little slice of rest and Sabbath every day. And one way you can do that is just to breathe well, and breathing intentionally, stopping the world around you. Get away from the crowd. Find some solitude and just breathe for 5 minutes. And here's how you do it. On the count of three, deep breath and pull it all the way to the bottom of your lungs. Hold it down there in the foundation, the basement of your lungs, and let your lungs feel like a balloon that's about to burst. On the count of three, one, two, three. Inhale. Hold it in there. Keep it down in there. And exhale. What I do with that is I remind myself what I just inhaled was absolutely stunningly free. I didn't pay a dime for it. God gave me the opportunity to breathe as a human being because God loves me. Now do that 5 minutes every day and just give yourself a Sabbath. Another exercise I teach people every time we gather here, and I do this because it is important, it's valuable for you no matter what comes of it. And that is, I teach people to look somebody in the eye, a child, a friend, a coworker, a spouse, significant other, a parent, whoever it may be, somebody with whom it's appropriate, and I get it, you can make this an illicit thing, and that's not at all what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is finding somebody that needs to hear the most three beautiful, charmed words in the human language. Those words are these: I love you. Get their eye contact, slow it down, don't rapid fire, I love you. Don't do that. Make it three distinct words with pace and connection. I love you. Oh yeah, it'll be weird, it'll be awkward, but the more you do it, the more you'll find yourself being not only giving value, but having a value inside of yourself, recognizing, I think I may have just enhanced the living of another person. And that's an exercise, I'm telling you, it can change your life and the life of many others. Thanks again for being here. It's a pleasure for me to invite you into this pastoral study every Saturday and Sunday. I love doing this. I appreciate WPCA Radio giving me the opportunity to come in here and teach on the power of love. I'm alive to love. All lesser values of value into BS. God bless you, and go out there and do something beautiful today, because you know it. Ugly has been done to death. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.